Hello, a couple of announcements, and I'll take your questions. As you know, the United States and Iraq are working to conclude negotiations on a strategic framework agreement. This agreement will lay out the future security, political, economic, and diplomatic ties of our two countries. Since January 2007, when President Bush announced a surge which sent more troops to Iraq and implemented a counterinsurgency strategy, we have seen a dramatic improvement in conditions on the ground. The Iraqis are increasingly able to be in the lead in combat missions with us in Overwatch, and as we saw when the Iraqi security forces took back Basra, Mosul, and Sadr City, they can succeed. It is precisely because we are succeeding in Iraq that we are able to have these conversations today to set aspirational goals for time horizons when we can transition our mission to Overwatch, counterterrorism, and training, which is the goal that we share. From there, we will be able to bring more troops home. This is a bilateral agreement, and it is solely based on conditions on the ground, which have improved and are likely to continue given the trajectory, as long as we work to cement the gains and maintain sustainable security. Also today, a U.S. Delegation led by the U.S. Trade Representative Susan Schwab is meeting in Geneva, Switzerland, along with other major trading nations at a ministerial-level meeting in an effort to make progress in the Doha round of global trade negotiations. As you heard President Bush emphasize at the recent G8 meetings, it is critically important that we conclude the Doha round. We want the world to trade freely, and we want to make sure markets are open for American agricultural goods, manufacturing goods, and also the services that we can provide. It's important to remember that these discussions are expected to be particularly beneficial to developing countries. Study after study has shown that the best way to help alleviate poverty is through trade. President Bush is firmly committed to a successful outcome to this round, and we will continue to be a leader in the discussions. We are willing to make further contributions in these negotiations, but success will only be achieved if others, especially the key emerging markets, make meaningful steps as well.
Has anyone reached out to Iraq's prime minister and his spokesman to find out what their feeling is about the presence, this agreement governing the presence of American troops in Iraq? It seems as if they are emphasizing the 16-month formula that Barack Obama is talking about, both the prime minister in the interview with Der Spiegel and the spokesman again today.
I don't know if anybody in particular has spoken to them, although I can tell you that Ambassador Ryan Crocker and General Petraeus meet with them, I think, daily. So I do believe that we've had contact with them, but I also think that Prime Minister Maliki is now on his way to Italy and Germany for his trip abroad. So I don't know. And I don't know what aspirational time horizon is going to end up in the final agreement. We're not going to negotiate here from the podium. Obviously doesn't work. It's a tried and true policy, and we're going to stick to it. So you know, we'll have to see. I don't think that we'll be able to finalize this agreement by next Thursday. We're working towards it, but it might take a few more days after that.
Well, when the Prime Minister's spokesman says today we're hoping that in 2010 that combat troops will withdraw from Iraq, doesn't that seem to be centering on the timetable that Senator Obama is proposing?
I don't know what the number is going to be. What I can tell you is that the agreement that the President and Prime Minister Maliki made last Thursday, and which we talked about on Friday after we got through Tony's funeral, is that we agree it will be conditions-based, we agree it will be flexible, we agree it is not an arbitrary date for withdrawal. Let's be clear, this agreement that we are working on is nothing like the 40 or 50 arbitrary withdrawal plans that we saw many members of Congress support over the past several years. This is an agreement that we can work on based on the success that we've had in the last several months. I don't think anybody in this room would have thought a year ago that we would be having these conversations today. The success has been remarkable. We don't think that it is cemented yet. We do think that some of these gains are reversible, and the Iraqis understand that. And the Iraqis definitely want to take over their own security. We want them to do so as well, but we want to jointly do it in a way that makes sure that we don't pull out arbitrarily.
Would you prefer that Iraq not talk about a specific date like 2010?
We don't think that talking about specific negotiating tactics or your negotiating position in the press is the best way to negotiate a deal. However, we understand that they're a sovereign country and they'll be able to do that. We're just not going to do it on our end. I don't know what the time horizon is going to be at the end of the day when we finalize this agreement, but I do know that it will be one that is based on conditions where the commanders on the ground could say, that's a great goal, we're getting, and as we near it, get nearer to it, if the conditions aren't right, they could pull it back or push the date back. So I think we'll have to see. I think this is based on the discussions that we've had amongst our counterparts and also with the conversation that I witnessed the other day between the President and Prime Minister.
Well, do you think that date of 16 months that the prime minister and the government spokesman are talking about is any different from what Senator Obama has been talking about?
I'm not going to talk about Senator Obama's position. He can articulate that himself. I would just tell you that where we come from, we're not going to talk about specific dates, but we are going, in terms of the press, there will be an aspirational goal, a time horizon that is laid out in the strategic framework agreement. It will not have any discussion about troop levels. The next commander-in-chief is going to have to, you know, make those decisions. I would hope that he would make them based on conditions on the ground, whichever president it is. Whether or not it's 16 months or later or earlier, I just don't know.
But the Iraqis may have some say in it, and they're saying that they would like to, in general, give or take a little, like to have most U.S. troops out in 16 months.
Well, we share the goal of trying to bring more of our combat troops home and transitioning the mission. They have proven that they've come a long way. The Iraqi security forces are able now to be the lead in the fight, such as they were in Basra, Mosul, and Sadr City, some of the hardest fighting that they had in Iraq. That's tremendous progress. Right now, though, we're working to still work on transitioning power security control over Anbar province, for example. They're nearer to being able to do that, but they're not quite there yet. And that has been sort of a rolling basis. The conditions aren't quite right, but we're getting closer. And I think that any date will, again, be tied to this condition-based condition that we have.
Don't you find it just the slightest bit disconcerting that the Iraqis continue to talk about this time horizon while Barack Obama is there, or while he was there?
I think that we've always said that we were trying to conclude this agreement by July 31st. We're now at July 21st, and anytime, as in my experience, that you get nearer to the end of a negotiation, the conversation intensifies and sometimes gets a little bit more vocal. So I don't think it's disconcerting, no.
Matt? David, the term time horizon has to imply the setting of date or dates of some sort in this agreement. How can you say that this is not a change of administration policy when the president had adamantly objected to the idea of timelines, time frames, mm-hmm. deadlines, anything related to time?
I just think that it's important that you make the distinction, Matt. That for many years, since I think it was 05, 06, and 07, many members of Congress suggested that we pull troops out in 90 days from X date, or in 6 months from today we'll have no more combat troops there. Those were arbitrary dates that tied the hands of the commanders and did not give any consideration to conditions on the ground. The whole reason we are able to have this conversation today with the Iraqis is because conditions on the ground have changed radically and for the better, and we are willing to talk with them about an aspirational time horizon when we would be able to have them take more security control of their country, as well as see them continue to make gains in their political reconciliation, which we increasingly saw even over the weekend as the Sunnis agreed to come back and rejoin the government. On the economic side, they just passed a supplemental for their budget. They're increasingly bringing in more revenues, and they're paying for almost all of their reconstruction costs. So we're making gains. Let me also mention that I do think that they've made a tremendous effort in the region, in the neighborhood, to improve their diplomatic relations with their neighbors, and you're seeing that through the Kuwaitis, who have now said that they will send an ambassador for the first time in many years, the United Arab Emirates, who agreed to forgive their debt, which was a good step forward. Jordan has said that they would consider opening up their embassy there, amongst others. So all of these tracks have been moving forward. We are not setting an arbitrary date for withdrawal that is a date that is plucked out of thin air. We are going to do this based on conditions. Conditions have improved dramatically, and we want to get it on a trajectory that makes sure that can continue.
So you're not going to be setting an arbitrary date.
That's
but
right.
But dates will be set.
As I just said,
list.
There will be an aspirational time horizon where there might be, for example, something that says, we believe that by X date, the Iraqis should be able to take over security control of Y province. And that could be the type of dates we're talking about.
So then what really is the difference? It sounds like a semantical difference.
I mean,
most Americans are looking at
that. Well, if you're making policy and you're the commander-in-chief, that there's a huge difference between saying that you're going to bring troops home based on, I don't remember whose legislation it was that would have brought our troops home in 90 days after the passing of the supplemental, maybe in 2007. But I know that we've gone through several of these fights, and in every time we've been able to beat it back because we think that the best decision makers on the ground are our commanders on the ground, not people in Washington, D.C. plucking dates out of thin air. And we are able to have this conversation with the Iraqis now because of the success we are seeing in Iraq that is based on the surge, which was an extremely courageous decision, one of the most unpopular decisions possibly in presidential history, but one that has worked nonetheless.
The AP has a report out of Jordan saying that Prime Minister Maliki told his advisors in recent days that it was time to squeeze the Americans, that because of the political calendar in the United States, it was time to really put pressure on President Bush to get this phrase time horizon or something like that into this agreement. Did the White House feel any pressure? Do you think that Prime Minister Maliki is using the political calendar to, quote unquote, squeeze the U.S. right now?
I would tell you that I saw the report. I think it's based on an anonymous source reporting about something they heard in that took place in a meeting, so I don't think it's appropriate to comment on it. I've seen enough of those turn out not to be true. Now, do I think that the negotiations are in their final stages, and do I think the Iraqis are trying to put forward their best position and to try to show that they can do more? Yes, but I also know that they agreed, the President and the Prime Minister and their negotiators, that any decision should be based on conditions, should not be arbitrary, and it should not tie the hands of our commanders. Dan, sorry.
Is the 2010 time frame that the Iraqi spokesman talked about today and that Maliki seemed to talk about, is that an arbitrary date in U.S. government's mind?
And not if it's based on conditions on the ground. So as I said, say that there's some date in the future. I won't say which one it is. Say that there's a date in the future, and as you get nearer to it, something has changed on the ground, or the Iraqi security forces that we thought were going to be ready aren't, or there's some other sort of change, then it could be reevaluated and pushed back. So it's not a firm, hard, fast date where you all of a sudden take all the troops out.
They don't seem to be putting it that way, though. They seem to be simply saying 2010 will be a good time frame for the withdrawal.
That might be what some of them think. It might be what the Prime Minister think. But I will tell you that it's based on conditions. And do they hope to be able to achieve their goals? Yes, we want to help them achieve their goals, too. We want our troops to come home as well. And we'll only be able to do that if we keep the trajectory that we're on, which is more success in Iraq. Kimmy, Wendell? Am I still on this?
Yeah.
Okay. Peter?
Who or what provoked this statement that you
overheard? My statement?
Today? Yeah.
I did. All on my own.
Why did you decide to?
Because it's the news of the day. That's what you guys are covering. I thought that I might as well get it out in the open and lay some groundwork for where we are.
So it wasn't motivated at all by this spokesman talking about
2010? No. I mean, look, we've been talking about this since Thursday. I don't think we even had a briefing on Thursday. I haven't been in the briefing room for several days, but we've been this issue has been in the news since Friday. And I actually came up with the idea all on my own.
All right. A second question about the statement. You said that the situation is likely to continue to improve given the current trajectory, but at the same time, you also said that some gains could be reversible.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And that's why we have to be flexible. And I think none of us know what's going to happen in the war. In fact, none of us, in January of 2004, February 2005, none of us would have thought that we would be where we were a year from then, from February 05 to February 06, when you had the worst of the Sunni and Shia violence. That's what we mean by it's unpredictable. It's why you have to be flexible, and that's why we have to look to our commanders to tell us what the conditions are to make sure that we have the right number of troops there and that their mission is the one that they should be fulfilling. Increasingly, we're able to be in an overwatch position where we can have the Iraqis back. That's where they want us to get to, and that's what we're working towards, but it just might take a little while. But in this agreement, we should be able to frame up some dates for aspirational time horizons in the future.
One related question, one more. Given the recent contacts with North Korea and the weakened presence at the talks with Iran, are North Korea and Iran still part of the axis of evil?
We've worked very hard to make sure that our diplomatic efforts are multilateral in nature and that we can bring to bear international scrutiny on issues of nuclear weapons programs, and we've done that, and we are pleased that we're starting to see some fruits of that labor, especially in terms of North Korea. Iran's a different story. Iran, they met with the P5+1 this week. We thought that they would have a response. They didn't. Secretary of State thought that they came up well short and that they're missing an opportunity for a very generous incentives package and that sanctions, additional sanctions, could be on the way.
Yeah, the question was, are both those countries still part of what the president defined as the axis of evil?
I think that until they give up their nuclear weapons programs completely and verifiably, I think that we keep them in the same category. April.
Dana.
Sorry, she was still on the same thing.
Yeah, on the same subject. Do you think that the Iraqis are feeling pressure to make the statements of late, the statements today, the statements of the last couple of weeks, as they are pretty much right now the center point of what's happening with this election, well, somewhat of the center point of what's happening in the coming election? Do you think the pressure that they're feeling, is that why they're saying the things that they're
saying? They might be. I don't know. I'm assuming that they'll probably be getting a lot of press calls from all over the world, and so I couldn't say what sort of pressure they're under. I do know that the negotiations are well underway and that people are working and burning the candle at both ends in order to try to get it done.
Does this administration feel that they are changing their stance at all, that they're changing their loyalties to this country?
No, I think that if you should go back and look at the things that Maliki has said, and that even his spokesperson said again in his statement on Saturday, that they appreciate the sacrifices of the United States, they recognize the role we have played, and that they don't want to move too fast too soon. But I don't think that in terms of changing loyalties, that is a part of this at all. I think that they are wanting to take back more of their own control. We share the same goal. You on the same thing, Roger? Wendell?
What, if anything, was accomplished at the P5 plus one talks in Geneva over the weekend?
Well, I think that what Secretary Rice said is it reinvigorated the diplomatic process, and that the P5 plus one recognized that the Iranians continue to play a game of stall tactics, and that they should continue to be united and make sure that there's no cracks in our position, of which I think that we re-solidified the position of the P5 plus one, that Iran should suspend its uranium enrichment, that we provided a very generous incentives package that they apparently are going to miss the opportunity to accept. Secretary Rice agreed with the other members to allow Iran to have two more weeks, but after that, I think that Iran could be looking at additional sanctions.
So what we gained here was more support for additional sanctions?
I would also think that, I think we gained support for additional sanctions, and we gained clarity in the Iranians' position.
We expected a formal response this weekend. We had already shrugged off Ahmadinejad's informal rejection of the package. We didn't get a formal response this weekend, and we gave him another couple of weeks. Your critics say that you are not being tough enough on Iran.
There's some people that think that we should actually be talking to Iran, too, so I think you're going to get critics from all sides, no matter where you are as the commander-in-chief. But I think that we have developed a good system, and with the diplomacy that we have engaged in, the fact that there is a multilateral framework with the P5 plus one that is united in its efforts to get Iran to halt its uranium enrichment so that we could then have negotiations with them is one that has paid off, because the international community recognizes that the best way to do that is through tightening these sanctions, which is hopefully something that we will be looking at over the next week or two. But they did give them an additional 2 weeks, and I know that there would be critics on that, but when we are say that we're serious about solving this diplomatically, we mean it. And we did expect Iran to come to the table with a response on Saturday, because that's what they said they were going to do. And the fact that they didn't just proves once again that they're playing a game of stall tactics.
So where does it go from here then?
Well, I think we have this 2-week period, but at that same time, I think that the secretaries and the political directors will be talking with one another to see about what the next steps would be if, in fact, Iran does not respond favorably to the offer.
2 weeks, then, is a hard and fast deadline?
Well, as far as
the offer removed at the end of 2 weeks?
I don't know how. I don't know that, and I'll check and see. Roger.
Related to that, in the mix of sanctions that will be examined over the next week or two, would gasoline imports be one of those in the mix of sanctions?
I don't know. We'll see if we usually never get that specific when we're talking about possible sanctions, but I'll check on both questions.
And I have a related question. The Texas governor has asked, petitioned EPA to do a 50% reduction on the ethanol waiver. What does the president think about?
Well, it is an EPA the EPA administrator's position. I'm sorry, that is the EPA administrator's decision to make. I'm not exactly sure where we stand on that, Roger. I know that there's been some discussion about it over at EPA, so I'll check on three things now.
I think that the president, since he really pushed this mandate, signed it into law just last December, that he wouldn't feel real keen toward cutting the mandate in half.
Well, I think that, yes, the mandate in regards to the renewable fuels portfolio standard, we do think it's important because we need to get our country on a path to transition away from traditional oil and gas use. One of the ways to do that is through ethanol. But we know that corn-based ethanol comes with some issues, so to speak. And one of those is environmental. The other one is in regards to food. So all of these things are being taken into consideration. But I do think that if you look at the percentage of how much the ethanol is affecting corn prices or food prices, it is relatively small. And so all of these factors have to be taken into account if you're going to make another change. But I think that the law that was passed in December of 2007 is a good one and gets us on a path to replace, I think it's 35 billion gallons of traditional oil and gas with ethanol or other alternatives or renewables.
Would the White House be weighing in on Mr. Johnson's decision?
Let me just check on where it is. I'm not exactly sure how that process works. Lawrence. Olivier. Sorry, I've done it twice. I called Dan, Mike, and you, Laurent. What's the problem with being here 2 hours ago?
You mentioned this morning that you were monitoring, the White House was monitoring the situation in Zimbabwe.
Yes.
They've now shaken hands, signed a deal. Does this have any impact at all on the U.S. push for more sanctions on members of the Mugabe regime?
I hadn't heard that update that they had gotten together, but we were monitoring it, so I will go back and see if we got any details, because we truly believe that all of those concerns that were expressed by the AU, the UN, and the SADC need to be addressed in any agreement so that we make sure that the Zimbabwean people's will is reflected.
Okay.
We'll check.
And the president said at the event with the Olympic athletes that they should be ambassadors of liberty and they should represent, represent to the Chinese people and to their fellow athletes U.S. values of human rights and human dignity. Does that mean he envisions a role beyond their athletic competition at the Olympics?
No.
And isn't this exactly what the president said he wasn't going to do?
No, I think that the president is saying that they represent America, and those are values that we represent, and he was very proud to have them today. John.
Thank you, Dana. Secretary Rice sent out a little bit of a jolt in her interview over the weekend with CNN, in which she said she'd made up her mind whom to vote for president in November, but wouldn't say who it was. Isn't that different from the president who says wholeheartedly he'll vote for John McCain?
I don't know, and I didn't see that part of the interview, but I'll let Secretary Rice speak for herself. I have heard her say she supports John McCain, so I would be surprised if there's any much of a story there.
Right. The other thing is, will the 10 members of Congress who were just at ANWR are now saying to reporters individually that there's no danger to the environment, we should drill. Will the president meet with the 10 or have any event related to their trip to Alaska?
I don't know who the 10 were, but let us check on it, and we'll check Scott and I.
John Boehner led them.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm glad that they went. I'm sure that they learned what the president believes to be true, which is that we should be opening up ANWR for environmentally responsible drilling. That's it for you. Okay, Victoria?
You're talking about aspirational time horizons, and the Iraqis are talking about 16 months and 2010. Mm-hmm. Do you think that they might be negotiating in public to try and put pressure on you before the agreement?
I don't know. I don't know, Victoria. I guess that's possible. Paula?
You spoke a moment ago about the need to transition from the path of oil to renewables.
Mm-hmm.
What is the White House position on Vice President Gore's 10-year aspirational goal to do that?
I didn't know he had aspirational goals, too. I don't know. I didn't watch it. I mean, we have lots of our own plans, and I'm sure he's got many up his sleeve as well. Lambros?
Of course, about Ms. Clarino, anything to say on the agenda of this meeting between President Bush and the Kosovo leaders, Hashim Thaçi and Hajim Seko?
Yes, the president's going to be meeting here just in about 10 minutes, and I will go there. You'll hear from the president and the prime minister. I will have a chance to speak to the pool at the end. The president is meeting with them to underscore his support for Kosovo's independence.
One more question. The Metropolitan Artemis of Kosovo, in a protest today, asked President Bush to cancel the meeting since Mr. Hashim Thaçi, inter alia, met in Tirana with Osama bin Laden to plan a jihad war against the Serbs. Any comment?
Did you really just use inter alia in a question?
He says a lot in the protest. Inter alia.
I think let's let the meeting take place, and then we'll see. And I'll be available afterwards for you. Yes, Goyal.
Thank you.
This morning, the Attorney General was speaking at the American Enterprise Institute, and he had a clear message for the U.S. Congress and also Supreme Court. What he said was really that those people who are being released are dangerous people as far as terrorism is concerned. My question is that most of the people released, almost 500 of them, they are back on the streets of Afghanistan and Pakistan. Now the Prime Minister is going to come this next week here at the White House, meeting with President Bush. You think this will be the main agenda as far as terrorism and those people still now in custody in Cuba, that where some of them are also from Afghanistan and Pakistan, still in custody?
Okay, well, the Attorney General did give a speech this morning about the issues that the Supreme Court decision raised in regards to the Boumediene decision. What we believe is that the Supreme Court decision actually raised a lot more questions than it answered, and that's what the Attorney General is trying to talk about today. And he also outlined some principles that he would like Congress to consider if they were to legislate on this issue, and so I'd refer you to that. And when it comes to the Prime Minister's meeting with the President on Monday, the 28th, they have with the Pakistani Prime Minister, President and Prime Minister Ghalani have a lot of issues to talk about, and certainly the Fatah region will be one of them, and cooperation on counterterrorism, that will be the first priority on the agenda.
Quickly, as far as going back to Iran, talking about new sanctions, so far sanctions really have not worked, and also are you in touch with China and Russia where they do stand as far as the new sanctions that the UN is concerned?
Well, yeah, we've certainly been involved in talking with them in regards to the UN issues, and we will continue to pressure them. I think that I don't think it's correct to say that sanctions haven't had an effect.
Dana?
Trying to follow up on Iran and Iraq.
Okay, Connie, one question. Go ahead.
Thank you. Has Iraq given any indication whether it would support sanctions against Iran and would it come to the world's aid if Iran tries to block the Straits?
I haven't heard what the Iraqis have said, but I don't think that they're not a member of the Security Council, so.
Would they assist the United States?
I think that Iraq has made it very clear that they don't want Iranian influence in their country. We certainly don't want to see any Iranian influence in Iraq, especially when it comes to the targeting of our soldiers.
Figures on how much the construction costs are being paid by Iraqi oil?
We can get it for you, but I think it's nearly 90%.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you very much, Dana. Two questions.
They called it less.